Let me see.
Blog Talk Radio.
All right, 7 o'clock. Here we go.
Okay.
Here we go.
Yep.
Turn your TV down. Hit the button. Show. I am your host, the coach, Keith Howard. It is Retro Saturday on the Extra Points Radio Show. Retro Saturday, which means after doing this show for over a year's time, we're taking it back old school, no frills. There was a time that we had a whole bunch of background noise. Yep, we had that. We had two guys doing the show, and it was only a 30-minute show, and we had no frills. So that's where we're going today. So today, speaking of two guys, Super Referee Craig Muckle has decided to come in and join us for the full show, and kind of like our old buddy, Duke. There we go. Music, absolutely. Super Referee Craig Muckle, are you there?
Good morning. How you doing, Keith?
Good, good. I see you got your music in the background. That's good. And this is Retro Saturday, and, you know, our first host, Dave Owens, he always pressed all the buttons, so you're getting a crash course at pressing buttons, so great job.
Thanks very much.
Super Referee Craig Muckle, you're used to your segment, which we will do today from 10:20 to 10:20 to 10:30 on basketball, our hoops roundup. But what you may not know is we always start the show with our pay attention topic. And our pay attention topic today, you know, with all this noise about interleague play, I don't know if you saw, but the Nets were in Baltimore for two nights, and then they came down to D.C. for two nights. Did you pick up on that?
Absolutely. I have to follow the Nationals being a Mets fan, so we'd like to know what they're doing.
Well, we won't get into Familia and Harvey and some of the other Mets goings on because they're a mess, just like the Knicks are. But but the Wiz kids flew up to Boston for a couple nights, came back home. We could talk about that. The Capitals trekked over to Pittsburgh for a little bit, came home, staying home. But you know what the pay attention topic is today? It's the Washington Redskins, of course. Super Ref, did you know that they are still, they've gone through a draft and now rookie camp without a general manager? What
you know, when you brought that up, I was like, you know, I got to give you kudos for that because that got lost in all the Wizards, Capitals, playoff hoopla and the Nationals starting the regular season. So, you know, good call by you, Coach.
Well, yeah, and, you know, it's weird because you look at some of the other teams around the league. First of all, they've got settled front office. You know, New England pulled a coup this week with LeGarrette Blount. Well, they pulled a seldom used rule out there, a May 9th deadline. So they're either going to get LeGarrette Blount for the cheapest as possible, or they'll get a compensatory pick later on. I know your team, the Steelers, they do it the right way, family business. They had a real good draft. What is going on with the Redskins? I just don't get it.
Well, I mean, I think you hit it on the head. If you look at the established teams, you know, the Patriots, we know what they've done. the Steelers' family business. I mean, the Packers have had success as well because, you know, there's long-term stability. They have people that, you know, really dig into things, or there's a culture that's already in place that we're going to do business this way and we're not deviating from it. So that way, not only do we know what we're doing, but the fans know what we're doing, and the players have an understanding of what we do, what we're going to tolerate, what we're not going to accept. And so when your culture is firmly ingrained and communicated up and down the ranks, you know, everyone either buys in or they're not there. And I think when you see that, you have success. And the teams that, you know, you mentioned, the Patriots, you know, my Steelers, we've mentioned the Packers over the years as well. I mean, those are the teams that have historically seen a lot of, you know, success, and they typically have a program in place. And I'm not sure here in Washington, I don't think we can consistently say that.
No, I mean, they clearly don't have that in place. And what's really scary is people forget the phase of the draft that's after the draft. So the draft is 3 weeks, right? You got the combine and you got the actual draft. But then after the draft, teams pick like 5 to 10 unsigned free agents. It's hard to do without a general manager. I mean, this is finding guys in the weeds. And for them to go through the unsigned draft period or unsigned free agent without a general manager. And there's no talk of a general manager. That's what kills me. I just don't get it. But the people you named, you're right. Steelers, they do it right. It breaks my heart to say it, but they do it right.
Yeah, I mean, and let's say this. I mean, are the Redskins a disaster? And I'm going to be fair. Are the Redskins a disaster? No. I think we've seen teams that we can count to right now, the New York Jets and the Cleveland Browns. Those are, you know, abject disasters. But,
yeah,
you know, you don't want to go too much time without a general manager because, you know, you could lead down the wrong path. And I think, you know, again, to be fair, you know, it's well documented I'm not a Redskins fan, but they've done a pretty good job of getting to where they've been over time, and I think they've done it in, you know, I would say sometimes they've done it in spite of themselves. But I do think Jay Gruden is a pretty good coach, and I think given enough tools and, you know, it looks like he's going to have enough time to put all his system in place, they could go down the right path. But you definitely need the general manager whose sole job is to build the team, find the players, and, you know, bring the talent in so the team can be competitive. And, you know, the Eastern Division, the NFC East is going to get tougher. I mean, Dallas had a good season. We'll see what happens this year. But the Giants are there. The Eagles aren't far away. And so it doesn't take much to slip. And it starts with – not only does it start with this, but, you know, it depends on that schedule you're going to play. But if you don't have – the players to back up, you know, for injuries and that kind of thing, you're going to have a problem.
Well, and, you know, we skipped over a city that went to the Super Bowl last year, Atlanta and the Falcons, but with Thomas Dimitroff as the general manager, and he's been the general manager now for a good decade ever since Arthur Blank took over the team, you see that stability, and now it's paying off. You know, there is an Atlanta Falcon way of doing things. You know what I mean? And the Redskin way of doing things is a dysfunctional way when everyone else is very functional. You know what I mean? Everyone else kind of has, hey, this is what, like, everyone knows the Steelers are not going to pay top dollar, right?
Right.
But they're gonna pay fair share. You know, they're going to pay market value. Like, they may put out a little more for a left tackle to protect Ben than maybe other teams would, but they're not going to put out anything for a running back because they know they're dime a dozen. You know what I mean? Like, there's a system.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think, I mean, again, what did the Patriots, I mean, they sent away a really good linebacker to Cleveland this year. I think it was Jamie Collins, if I'm not mistaken. And, you know, people were asking, why did they do that? Because it didn't seem to make sense. But they want, you know, they figured he wasn't performing to their capabilities. And now they get a more than serviceable back just by knowing the intricacies of the rules, LeGarrette Blunt essentially for a song who's already been part of their program, and clearly they like him to bring him back. And so those are the things, those are the small differences that kind of separate the winners from the losers, or the, you know, the contenders from the pretenders.
You know, one last thought on the New England piece. There was another linebacker, Chandler Jones, who they also got rid of. So they got rid of Jamie Collins.
Yeah.
And see, you and I now are in the weeds. We're most front offices, pro personnel, don't even know these guys. But Chandler Jones was a great player while he was with New England. They let him go for nothing. He had a bad game and cut. So I'm watching the NFL Network the other day. He was the 97th best player last year. And they got rid of him. You see, because he wasn't very good. He had one good game. He didn't back it up with another good game. They got rid of him. And they got a whole bunch of draft picks for him from the Cardinals, which they'll use next year. So it's just, it's unbelievable. But, hey, what I want to do is shift gears for a moment. And thank you so much for the pay attention topic. You got that nicely. So what I want to talk to you about, usually we'll fill in a guest right here. But what I really want to get at today is D.C. really a good sports town? Now, you know, I'm going to do a sport. I know. I'm going to do it sport by sport. So if you look at baseball, the Senators basically went belly up when they were here. They played in old Griffith Stadium. No one came to the games, and they went belly up. I would bet you a dollar if Bryce wasn't here and the Nets weren't winning, nobody would go to those games. What do you think?
I think you're on point. And, you know, here's the thing about Washington, and I'm in this category. You know, it's a very itinerant city. And so you get it's so itinerant that people –
Itinerant is a word off of the SAT. So for me, the listening audience is very educated. But for a football coach, what in the heck is itinerant?
Basically,
what's an itinerant city?
Basically, there are people here, you know, we're a government town. There's lots of people here who come from the military who come to D.C. for short periods of time to do service work or, you know, other business in the government, and then they're in and out. So, you know, lots of people come here and leave. Lots of people like myself come here to relocate to live here probably for the rest of their life. And they bring other allegiances like myself to Washington, D.C. And so, you know, for a team like the Nationals, who my former colleague at Safeway, Greg Tang, was a Montreal Expos fan. So he was actually very interested because he saw a team that he used to root for as a kid, the Montreal Expos, being from upstate New York, now being Washington, D.C., where he lives, and he would root for them. So he had a long-term rooting interest. But for a lot of the Washingtonians here with the Nationals, I mean, let's be fair. They were Orioles fans in a lot of cases before that. So people had to make a decision. Yeah.
You're talking to one. I mean, quite honestly, I still think Camden Yards is better than Nats Park. And I still believe this. I've seen when the Nats go on, when they had their slim day, which was when they first came, you know, first started, and they first opened the stadium, there wasn't a lot of people out there. It wasn't until Bryce Harper came, and then they made some huge signings, Scherzer and all that. How about hockey? Once again, you know, if you're not in Canada and you're not in New York, the chance of you being a successful franchise are already iffy. Right? I mean, it's iffy. So this isn't really a hockey town. Not really. I remember the Caps being horrible, and no one would ever go out there. And then Ovechkin came in. And now all of a sudden, and they built Verizon Center. But I can tell you, when it was the old Cap Center, there was nobody at those games.
Yeah, but I will say this. Maybe it's a hockey town in the respect that the Capitals have you can arguably say easily that the Capitals have had more success than virtually any other team in the city in recent years, certainly. And so maybe it is a hockey town from that regard because,
I'm glad you brought that up. Whoa. No. I'm glad you brought that up because that's true for regular season. But the amount of disappointment that this hockey franchise has put on it, really rabid, rock the red, Northern Virginia-based fan base, I could see them not being pleased with the outcome here, and now that loyalty and that allegiance starting to. I mean, come on, after this year,
yeah,
there are going to be a lot of people that are not going to renew their season tickets. And if Ovechkin, who clearly has aged, clearly,
yeah.
I can see this thing going the wrong way.
Well, you make a good point in bringing that up because I think that's really what defines are you a good sports town. Because I think at the end of the day, we define a good sports town not only on the fandom, but also are your teams successful? And I would definitely say, certainly in my more than 25 years in this region, Washington sports teams have typically languished in mediocrity
exactly.
at best. And here's the other thing. When I also, and being someone who follows mostly New York teams with the exception of the Steelers, I can say this. When the New York teams stink, the fans in New York make it clear that they're not happy, and they readily acknowledge that their team stinks. I would argue
right.
that not every, you know, a lot of Washington fans live in this fantasy land that we're going to be good, we are good, and, you know, this is what's going to happen. Because, and I go back to the issue of success. How can you say you're going to be good when you have yet to show me, after the Washington Redskins in the early 90s winning a Super Bowl, what have you done for me lately? A generation of Washingtonians have been birthed and have yet to really see a championship of any kind, unless you consider the D.C. United a championship team,
right.
which they have done.
Well, you bring up a good point, and I'm glad you brought up the United, because I think part of what makes a great sports town is what else are you doing? And quite honestly, it's nice to say we have the Legg Mason Classic, and we have wonderful golf courses. I know we've had the U.S. Open a couple times. But really, this stuff is not major, sporting event. I mean, we even got MGM now, right? In gorgeous Prince George's,
yeah.
we got the MGM. Unless Floyd Mayweather is coming to fight, who cares? And I would bet you there are more transplant people who would come see that fight than locals. I'd bet you any amount of money.
Yeah, I think you're right. Now, look. I'm not going to suggest that there's no passion in this city, because there is.
Oh,
I mean,
but
so.
A lot of passion.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. But
you know, I think, you know.
When you go through this much loose.
Yeah, but I think, you know, I question the team success, the success of the teams. Excuse me, I'm having a tongue tied here all of a sudden. The success of the teams goes into that sports town discussion, and I think the fans, you know, play a part in that. And, you know, I just think as someone who came here, and look, I'll be perfectly honest with you, and I may be telling you something you actually don't know about me, but when I was in Connecticut, I actually didn't mind. I thought the Redskins were very good, and I actually did like them to the point that I wouldn't mind watching them. I mean, it was not until I actually moved here and started interacting with people who are Redskins fans, I'm like, are you kidding me? That,
right.
you know,
right.
That's what actually got me to be like, no, I can't deal with the Redskins anymore. I just can't.
well, speaking of, and you know, it's funny because we're doing Retro Saturday on the X Points Radio show, and the co-host, Dave Owens, and I, the former co-host, and I, we used to always get into these really,
really
deep conversations, and we'd run out of time, you know, because a 30-minute show goes by so quickly. But I want to shift gears to your hoops update here and talk quickly about D.C.'s basketball team and the Wizards, and what in the world, can they win this Game 7? There's nothing in the numbers that tells me they can, unless you were there in 1979 like I was when the Iceman had a cold game and the Wizards beat the Spurs or the Bullets or whatever it was. Can they win this game?
Well, here's the thing. And look, they had a, you know, it was a scintillating game last night. Great, you know, shot by John Wall to win the game. I think, honestly, last night's game was probably the first game and, you know, frankly, for the Wizards fans, I hope it's not the only game that they actually saw high-level basketball by both teams at the same time, okay? Because it was the only competitive game for 40 minutes that has been played in the first six. So, you know, the game tomorrow hopefully will, you know, live up to the standard that they created last night. But having said all of that, I have significant.
By the way, I just wanted to tell you, you know, Twitter was all over it. And, you know, it looks like the hometown athletes are really behind the Wizards. Like, they're carrying the whole region sports-wise off of Twitter. Go ahead, finish your thought.
Yeah. So my point simply is, though, how do you go, you win two games here, you clearly have the momentum, then you go to Boston on, Wednesday night, and basically, you know, I think you had people in Wizards uniforms there, but it clearly didn't seem like they were the Wizards who people have expected should be competing to move on to play the Cavaliers. I mean, because they were a virtual no-show. I mean, how do you lose by 25 freaking points in a game five, in a game where if you know you win it, you can come here last night and close the joint out, and you fail.
You're not even
close.
You'd have to ask James Harden how to show up for a game, but yet not really be there. I don't know how you do that, but I do know this: if they play a team effort. A total team effort. That means Gortat gets a double-double. That means Otto Porter scores over 15 points. That means Markieff Morris plays the whole game and doesn't foul out. And then let the other two guys do what they do. And, oh, by the way, Bogdo throwing a couple threes. Jason Smith blocks somebody, you know, do those type things. Jennings give a little energy off the bench. Kelly Oubre don't get in the fight. If you do all those things, I think you easily beat the Celtics to Monday night. But if you just leave it to the two live crew of Wall and Beal and let them go against Horford making three and Crowder picking up all the garbage and, of course, you know, what's his name, Bradley and Isaiah Thomas, they're going to get whatever they're going to get. But Olnick gets in 7 points and even Smart throws in like 4 points. They're not going to win the game. And I just think Boston's playing better team basketball than the Wizards are in both plays.
Yeah.
I mean, I saw that last night. Only three Wizards scored in the second half. That's crazy.
I mean, you can't have that. I mean, the playoffs is about people in role positions making a contribution at critical times. And I don't think the Wizards have certainly had it consistently. And for them, you know, if they expect to even get to the Cavaliers, and, you know, it's been readily acknowledged by people probably smarter than us that the Cavaliers will be pressed harder by the Wizards because the Wizards have a better roster. But, you know, all that talent, all that potential means nothing if you can't even get there to even entertain that conversation. And I have significant doubts because the Wizards have yet to show me personally that they're even got the fortitude to do it, because when you lose games by collective about 75 points on the road, you're not close. And tomorrow, they've got to be close. And, someone needs to tell me in the next 24 hours or so where the Wizards are going to close that gap so much that they're going to win the game tomorrow. Hey, I hope they do it, but I don't see it.
I just did. I don't know if they're going to do it, but – Put your referee stripes on for a moment. If you're repping that game tomorrow night, knowing the history with Oubre and Olnick, and it's just been a chippy series, are you calling that thing tight, or are you going to let them play because it's game seven and you're going to let them play? What's the referee thinking right now?
I would say this. Before the game, whoever's refereeing is going to say, guys, you know, it's going to be a hard-fought game. We'll give you the good game. You give us a good game. I think the referees will go into it saying, don't do anything silly. Play the game and let them decide that way. But they'll let it play out, and if things start going the wrong way, they'll have to rein it in. I think the referees in any situation at any level don't want to influence the game overtly unless they have to. So let the players play the game. Let the players should understand the game that they're in. And so no one should really want to jeopardize their team by doing something silly.
Let me ask you.
Because who wants
question.
To see players throw out? Who wants to see players thrown out? I don't go into a game saying I'm going to throw XYZ player.
Well, the rumor is that you put your whistle in your pocket one game, but I'm not getting into that. But let me what about with Wall hitting that shot last night? With Wall hitting that shot last night. I mean, I see RG3s on Twitter. Actually, I see you, John Wall, right? Everybody's looking. Does he own the city now? Ovechkin's old. He's done. If they don't give Bryce $500 million, he's leaving. Who else? The football team, you know, the, Cousins is
yeah.
not. He'll be gone next year to the 49ers. Does John Wall now, is he the face of D.C. sports?
I mean, I think I don't see how he can't be because, you know, he's been here now, what is it, like 5-7 years, and he's clearly – you know, he's the face of the franchise. And I think, in fairness, the person that's actually helped him has been his running mate, Bradley Beal. I think John Wall is, you know, that Washington athlete number one. And I would say Bradley Beal's probably 1A, right there behind him, if not with him.
Yeah.
And so they've certainly taken that position as, you know, maybe setting Bryce Harper aside, because I think, you know, Bryce is who he is. But I think we can all ask the question, will he actually be here in the next couple of years?
They all have one thing in common, which is regular season greatness, postseason failure. And what makes Tom Brady the GOAT is his postseason
just
the success is off the charts.
These guys are
all losers when it comes to postseason. I hope John Wall's listening. I really do. He might be. I don't know. But Wall, if you got to win this game tomorrow night in order to be, you know, I think the Mount Rushmore that there's one picture on DC sports.
Yeah.
I don't know. We'll see tomorrow.
Yeah. I would just say I think Wall and Beal are going to show up tomorrow. But it's really, you know, in the NBA is clearly evidence that your stars have to perform, but you're going to need a substantial effort by your role players. And just very quickly, because I know we're running out of time here, if you saw Game 6 of the Spurs series, that's a prime example where, you know, Tony Parker is out for the series, out for the season. Kawhi Leonard was out for the – could have played, but was held back. But yet you had guys LaMarcus Aldridge really stepped up with a huge game, 16 of 26, 34 points, double-digit rebounds, huge game, but Pau Gasol in there. But Jonathan Simmons in particular, here's a guy who paid to try out himself in the D-League, and yet he played a significant role shutting James Harden down, who I don't know what was up with him, because
really? I got an idea what was up with him, but I'll leave that for another show.
Yeah.
But he clearly did not show up. Hey, great conversation. Let me give our quick 2-minute warning here.
Sure.
And the 2-minute warning is all about relationships. And I want to thank you for coming on the show each and every week. And although we're doing a retro show today, I appreciate you pressing buttons for us. And I just encourage everybody out in our listening audience, make sure you got good, strong relationships because you're going to need help along the way. The website, extrapointsllc.com. And Super Referee, you got anything you want to promote out there before we hit our last button?
Absolutely, and first of all, just thank you for giving me the opportunity. I really enjoyed it, and you're right, the 30 minutes have sailed right by. I'd love to do more, but this is the last opportunity for me to talk about the Prince George's Chamber Tournament, Prince George's Chamber of Commerce Golf Tournament, which will be this coming Wednesday, May the 17th at Oak Creek Golf Course. And, you know, we're, 4 days away from that. We're looking forward to a Chamber of Commerce Day. The weather reports look to be a typical sultry summertime type of day in Washington, D.C. But we look forward to having over 100 golfers joining us for that event. Wanda Durant will be out there, the real MVP, Kevin Durant. And we do want to say Happy Mother's Day to all the moms, particularly my wife, Yolanda Muckle, who is the mother to my our three children, and to my mom, Yvonne Muckle, who helped you know, bring my brother along with my dad. So happy Mother's Day, not only to them, but also to my mother-in-law, and, you know, Keith, to your mother as well, and, you know, to all the mothers that may be listening.
You got that right. Happy Mother's Day to everybody. And as we hit the button and go out, the extra point is up, and it is good.